again a warm welcome back to the house of the Lord, especially to our friends who are here for the first time. Warm welcome. This afternoon, we return back to our study of spiritual gifts, or the theme for this whole series of studies that we have been dealing with is the dynamics of spiritual gifts. And I need not repeat to you right now the importance of every spiritual gift or gifts that the Lord has bestowed upon you, and that you know the significance of each gift that the Lord has given to you, and how you ought to exercise and develop it, not for your own glory, but for the benefit of God's people and for the furtherance of His work here. And so this afternoon we come to a spiritual gift which I think most of us will not be aware of. In fact, it is something which I discovered myself while doing a meditation on this topic. And so if you turn with me again to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28, this is called the gift of helps. And God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then the gifts of healings, and the gift of helps, government, diversity of tongues. So you notice there that this is a spiritual gift. The gift of help is a spiritual gift. I'm surprised to discover that. Or perhaps actually we know, but that we do not know that it falls under the category of this gift called the spiritual gift of help. The first thing we want to look at is, what is the gift of helps? It is a gift of taking someone's burden and placing it upon ourselves. Basically, that's what this gift is all about. This gift relieves others and relieves them from the burdens that are hindering them from fulfilling their own responsibilities in God's service. That's how this gift comes into play. Such a gift is valuable to the body of Christ because it enables others to become more efficient in the use of their spiritual gifts. I will elaborate further. And this is one classic example that I'm sure you know of is in Acts chapter 6. When the church of Jerusalem grew so rapidly under the leadership of the apostles and how the Lord blessed them, and they found themselves swarmed with meeting the physical needs of the people. And some of the believers, and of course, in particularly, it's mentioned there is those, the widows, their physical needs were not met promptly, perhaps. And so there was this murmuring. So the church, through the apostles, appointed 7 deacons to provide this service. And in that way, the apostles, what? They will be released from this burden or from this area of service and be able to minister more effectively in their own, with their own spiritual gift. And God, in His love and providence for the church, has provided members who have this spiritual gift of helps to attend to such a matter. It may be just the most routine and mundane task. For example, setting up the church, getting ready the church bulletin for Sunday. That's what we do normally. Arranging the chairs for a worship service. Preparing the elements for the Lord's Supper is another area. Or preparing refreshment for a simple fellowship meeting. Manning the PA system. And manning the library, the resource center. Taking care of the Sunday lunch, and rostering teachers for the Sunday schools, and even for some churches, which we do not do it here now for the moment, God willing, we hope we can, driving the children to and from church. And for VBS, the Vacation Bible School, back home in Singapore, we do that, and I thank God for the opportunity I can become drivers too, to serve in the Vacation Bible School. And it also, this gift also includes spending hours, what? Planning the logistic for a church camp,
for a church anniversary, publishing the gospel tracts or Christian literatures that we need to distribute out to those passing by here, setting up and maintaining of a computer system. Those who are in IT are expert in that, and they can do that. And that's part of the spiritual gift of helps. And maintaining the church website, the general maintenance of the compound of this church, all these and many more are part and parcel of this spiritual gift of helps. But the spirit of the world has crept into the church, has crept into the hearts of believers. In what sense? In the sense that it has caused us, believers, to consider and to look at this gift, this spiritual gift of helps, as something lesser importance than all the other more prominent gifts of the Spirit. Many of us would regard these spiritual gifts of help as what? As a consolation prize from the Lord. But in actual fact, do you know that the gift of helps is very, very important to the life and the body of Christ? It can be considered as the backbone of an effective church or the lubricant of the whole body of Christ so that the church can run smoothly and effectively and efficiently. When a church is blessed with members who are not only willing, but who also find joy and delight in doing all these things for the Lord, then the work of the Lord will proceed with much greater efficiency and speed. Do you understand and see the importance of this spiritual gift of help? It is not something of second class. It is not a gift that is of lesser importance. It is very, very important indeed. And even the gifts, even though the gifts of help is so important, we know that those who are given this gift and those who are exercising these gifts, sometimes they may be discouraged and give up. Why? Because this gift often goes unappreciated or unrecognized. The gift of helps does not attract very much attention. And those who have this gift do not mind it at all. But oftentimes we know those who have this gift are serving the Lord unappreciated and unrecognized. In fact, those who have this gift prefer to work behind the scenes and not to be in the limelight at all, because they do it all for the Lord and not for self-glory. And I like to thank God for the many wonderful people in the church, the brethren in our church, who are the unsung heroes. I need not name names, you know them yourself. They are unsung heroes in their own right, serving the Lord very quietly, faithfully, Sunday after Sunday, and even other days, they are willing to sacrifice their time. If there is a need, they will come down and help and diligently carry out their area of service. And so I'm personally much encouraged by those of you who show great initiatives in getting this church running. And I think of those who, without being told, in your own quiet way, you clean the tables after the use, wash the dishes, sweep the floor, manning the PA system, clearing up the rubbish, and doing many other work in the church, all for the glory of God and for the blessing of the brethren. To all of you, I want to say a very big thank you. You are of much encouragement to me, and I thank God for all the sacrifices that you have made so far, and I trust that you will be encouraged and you will be motivated to continue to serve the Lord well, not as man pleases, but as unto the Lord, and surely the Lord will reward you in due time. When we examine all the gifts of the Spirit or the spiritual gifts, the gift of helps is probably the most common gift as well as the most needed gift of all. In the verse where it is mentioned among the spiritual gifts, do you know that it is ranked 6th in the list, above 2 other spiritual gifts which the Corinthians regarded very highly? the gift of government and the gift of speaking in tongues, but the gifts of help rank above these two. It is a beautiful and marvelous gift, a gift that, and we need a good supply of this spiritual gift in our church. And you and I should not underestimate this gift, because nothing can accomplish, nothing can move without this gift. And even though the ones who possess this spiritual gift do not crave at all for attention or appreciation, let us not think that we do not need to show our appreciation to them. Let us be ready to personally encourage them. Encourage them in their service for the Lord with the words of 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my brethren, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor in the Lord, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We should encourage one another. And it is good if you can, and you should, from time to time, write a card to someone who has been of a blessing to you in a very small ways. Just write a thank you card or give a call to say that I'm much encouraged by your testimony yesterday, last Sunday. And this is how the church should go about provoking one another unto love and good works. You do not need to be told. As you observe and you see, you do it. And let us also be encouraged by the example to see that if we have been similarly blessed by God with this spiritual gift of help and should be using it, the question then is, how can I tell if I am endowed with this important spiritual gift? How do I know I have this spiritual gift of help? Here are some questions we can ask ourselves to determine that. First of all, am I motivated by a desire to relieve others of their mundane tasks that are hindering their area of service to the Lord? Do I enjoy doing this mundane task, even though it is mundane, for the Lord? Am I willing to fit in anywhere? Is availability my greatest ability? Do I tend to avoid being in the limelight? Does my service help the church to run more efficiently and effectively? If most of our answers to this question are yes, then probably we possess this spiritual gift. And if you have this gift, then you should develop it. Look for opportunity to use this spiritual gift of help that the Lord has endowed you with. And this brings us to the second point of this sermon. The first, we have looked at what is this spiritual gift of help. The second point here is, how should I use the gift of help? And I suggest a few guidelines. Firstly, be available and observant. One of the characteristics of servant in a household is that the servant must be available whenever the master calls for them. Those who want to serve the Lord with this spiritual gift of help must therefore be available for service. They must avail themselves whenever and wherever help is truly needed. Is it not true that it is very difficult to entrust responsibility to someone who is unable to commit him or herself to be available for service? It is logical, isn't it? Once we can fulfill this basic requirement of being available, then the next thing to do is to be observant. Be alert and observant. And soon you will notice, I guarantee you, there will be thousand and one things that are needed to be done in the church. Then, if you have observed enough, take the initiative to do it. A good servant is always alert to the needs of others. In Psalm 123 verse 2, the psalmist says, "Behold, as the eyes of servant look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until he have mercy upon us." In a typical Hebrew household, the master's needs were communicated to the servants by what? hand signal. And I'm sure you have watched this on some of this show. You know, they do this. And then the servants will know what exactly the master wants. And so it is the duties of servants to continue to carefully observe the hands of the master and the mistress. A certain signal would mean that food is to be served. Another signal would mean that something else was required. And you know, just to share with you this funny thing that that I did when I was younger, when I first came out to work. And of course, I've been on the streets from a very young age because my parents need to work, and been on the streets, I grew up to be very streetwise, you know. Of course, streetwise sometimes in the wrong sense. And I've been in the building industry, I have to deal with people of all levels. And especially I know who are the big bosses who hold the purse, you see. And so being the person in charge, I would know how to move my way along. And there was once, of course I learned this through some of these people. As you go along in life, some of these big bosses like the smoke, is it? Yeah. The moment they straight away I'll get a lighter. You get standby because I don't smoke, so I don't carry a lighter with me. But I'm very alert. I'm very observant. The moment he, he feel very good. Wow, that I'm serving him. Of course, at the end of the day, I want my payment, is it? So. So we do that, but of course I do that out to please him, alright, in that sense. Not that I want to, boost his morale. But what I'm trying to bring across is that we ought to be very observant, very alert if we want to, or if we are given this gift of help, that we look around us and be very quick to step in when the help is needed. That we need not be told what to do. Alright? Sometimes you will observe that the tasks that needed to be done are so-called menial work. The tasks that nobody likes to do. And this is where I come to the second guideline for the gifts of help. Besides being available and observant, the next thing, if you are given this gift, how do you exercise it? Second thing is to be willing to take unpleasant or tedious tasks. Many things that these tasks are insignificant, and that is, it is beneath their dignity to do all this work, all these menial tasks, sweeping the floor, clearing the dishes, picking up the papers. If you see a piece of paper lying on the floor, they think that this is beyond them. I'm of higher standard that I don't need to do all this. I want to remind all of us, brothers and sisters, that Jesus himself was a lowly servant in his ministry on earth. And it is therefore good for us to look to him as our model. One of the best passages that show how our Lord was a humble servant himself is in John 13 verses 1 to 13, where the disciples were gathered for the Last Supper. And in verses 4 and 5, we see that Jesus rose up from the supper table, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself, and proceeded to wash the dirty feet and smelly feet of the disciples. What he did there was most surprising to all of them. He was doing the work of a servant, even though he was really their master, isn't it? They should be washing his feet. Then said he to the disciples in John 13 verses 14 and 15, Jesus says this, "Yea, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you." If you want to serve in the way that the Lord Jesus has served, then you must and we must be willing to do the things which are beneath our rank or our status in life. One of the reasons why people dislike this service is that this work is sometimes quite unpleasant, tedious and boring. But you see, the challenge is not just to do
this unpleasant, tedious, boring task. The challenge is not only to do it willingly, but the challenge is to carry them out joyfully as unto the Lord. It is not easy. It is not easy. But then again, those of us who have these spiritual gifts of help, are you willing to lower yourself, to follow in the step of Christ, to serve and to carry out lowly tasks for the Lord, unappreciated, unrecognized, and sometimes, as I said before, even been complained about? But are you willing to do that task? And this leads us to the third guideline for the use of this gift, this spiritual gift of helps. That is, thirdly, be willing to carry out each task with a joyful spirit of Christ. Do you know why I bring out this point? I want to tell you this, brothers and sisters. Do you know that it is a sin to serve the Lord without joy? You may be smiling away, but inside you, God, who is the discerner and who searches the heart, knows us. Even though we may put on a smiling face, it's inside us. We serve and do all these mundane tasks grudgingly, unhappily, and reluctantly. Do you know it is a sin? Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 45 to 47. There you see, in those verses, Moses is warning against Israel. Or rather, sorry, Moses is warning Israel against certain sins that will bring God's wrath upon them. It reads, "Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed." That's verse 47. "Because thou serve not the Lord thy God with joyfulness, and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things." So for this reason, God was angry with them. And in fact, Psalm 100 verse 2 reminds us this: to serve the Lord with gladness. So brothers and sisters, any service rendered to God without gladness and grudgingly displeases the Lord. It should be done as an expression of our love to the Lord, who is our Heavenly Father and who has done so much for us. Look at ourselves. Perhaps, I do not know about now, but perhaps when we were younger, when our parents required us to do something for them, like running an errand, we do it lovingly, isn't it? Do we complain? Well, I guess sometimes we do, especially we are busy with our playing. But you see, we as children to our parents, we willingly carry out some of these tasks, isn't it? And we count it a great honor to serve our parents in a very small ways, because they are our parents, our fathers and mothers. How much more then when our Heavenly Father requires us to do something for Him? We ought to do it as unto the Lord, with eagerness, with love, and with joy in our hearts. We ought to give Him our best. Should we not? And so this leads us again to the fourth guideline. Fourth guideline to the use of this spiritual gift of help is what? Be sure that our service is of the best quality. Besides carrying out with joy, a joyful spirit that will please the Lord, we are to give of the best quality to the service of the Lord. The gift of helps place a very high responsibility on the one who have them. The responsibility to give their very best in everything that they do for the Lord, whether big or small tasks. Let nothing be done in a slipshod manner or careless manner, just because it is a small thing or a small matter that no one bothers to take notice of. No, we ought to give the best, even in those areas of service where nobody will take notice of. Why? God will take notice. God Himself will take notice. All the service done for the Lord should be of the best quality. For instance, if you are
task to chair a fellowship meeting, it would not be the best of quality if you leave it to the last 5 minutes before the meeting start to choose your song and to arrange the chair and to plan your program. Because to give a shoddy work to the Lord is to insult Him, is to mock Him. And if you want to do your best, always do more than what is required of you. And that's how we should go to do our best, to give the best quality to the Lord. Do more than what is required for you to do. Go the second mile for the Lord. For instance, if you are required to play the piano, the organ. And of course, I'm not using this to hint to our organist or pianist. It is also for the chairman, by the way. The chairman's responsibility to get all your songs ready in time and in fact early, and to inform the pianist or the organist earlier so that they can do the practice. And how do you go the second mile? You practice and practice until you get the chords and the tempo right, even though you may be an expert in that area. It is good to find out in advance what the songs are so that you can practice beforehand. This is what we do in Singapore. And let us remember, as I said before, the Lord takes notice, and the Lord is mindful of the very little details that we put in. Even an act of offering a cup of cold water is noticed by the Lord. So whatever we do, do it as if the Lord is going to inspect or audit it, our work, and we have to give an account for it. In order for our service to be the best, our own resources will definitely not be sufficient. And that is why the next area, the next guideline that we need in exercising the gift of help is to exercise this gift in the power of God, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that is. This is the fifth guideline. Be sure to carry out our service with God's power. Because this involves getting into the habit of praying for God's help. And that is why I came to realize that one of the day as I was meditating and thinking that we ought to meet, especially those of us who are on duty on Sunday, to come at 10:30 sharp to be gathered here so that we can pray. Ask the Lord to grant us wisdom, diligence, skill, and guidance so that everything we do will turn out exactly the way that the Lord wants it. Not the way I want it, not the way the leaders want it, but the way God wants it to be done. We ought to dedicate, and that's why, as I said, the reason for that, our coming at 10:30 to pray, whatever the department, whatever the task, whether it be in the kitchen or the PA or the pianist or the organist, we want to dedicate our work to the glory of God. And when it is accomplished, we can truly utter a prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord for all the power and enablement He has given us to accomplish that task. Have you noticed that when the Israelites were given the task of building the temple in the wilderness, there were two men whom were blessed by God with special spiritual gifts of helps to make all the furniture and the equipment that was to be used for worship? Do you notice that there's two men there? Turn to Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 to 6. Exodus chapter 31 in the Old Testament, verses 1 to 6. And I read, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have what? I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works." Of course, cunning work there is not because the work is cunning. It is those intricate words. It is the old English words that they use. Alright? "To work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them and in carving timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. and I, behold, I have given with him. That means someone is assisting this Bezalia, and by the name of Ahuluet, the son of Ahish Shemek, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise hearted, what? I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. So we see that these two persons were specially endowed by God with all the skill and wisdom and knowledge that they needed for their service in the making of the tabernacle and all the things that were used for worship. Likewise, we likewise should also seek the Lord for the skill, for the wisdom, for the knowledge to do the Lord's service well. And to seek also the what? The filling of the Holy Spirit for carrying out the seemingly mundane task of service. The word of God through Zechariah, the prophet say, not by might, but nor by power, but by my spirit. Zechariah 4:6. This is how we should ought, or this is how we ought to exercise our spiritual gift. Yes, we have the gift, but each time before we carry out the task, and whatever the task, simple, big, small, menial, mundane, commit it unto the Lord, dedicate it to the glory of God, pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit, pray for the empowerment and the enabling of the Holy Spirit, so that every task for the Lord will be done properly, orderly, to the best of quality for his praise. Besides, depending upon the Lord for power to serve, those who have the gifts of spiritual gift should also depend upon the Lord to reveal his will for their service. I mentioned this before this morning in our study of the will of God, how we ought to determine. And so, in our service to the Lord, we ought to determine, for there are tasks which the Lord wants us to do, but not now. There are tasks which we do not know how to do and when to do. And therefore, in exercising our spiritual gift, we also ought to seek the will of God, when to do it, how to do it, where to do it, to whom it should be rendered to, right? And so this brings us to the final guideline. Be sure to seek God's will for your service. Sometimes the Lord may want us to leave a particular task or area of service that we have been faithfully serving all these years, so that we can what? Train up others to take over our job, so that we can move on to serve in other areas where the Lord has called us to. This may be the case for some of us. Because the Lord is calling you somewhere to exercise your gift is in another place, perhaps. And for some of us, perhaps, I don't think any of us here are in that situation. But if you are, some of us here may be overcommitted in too many areas of service. Those who are keen to serve with the gift of helps can fall into this trap of over-committing themselves, even to the point of damaging their spiritual life. And this is where we have to be very careful and watch out. There is the danger of becoming too busy in the Lord's service, doing more than we should be doing. And I give you the best account or illustration is from Mary and Martha. You know the story. That is the case in point. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and listened intently to his word to receive instruction. But Martha was what? Martha was cumbered about with much serving. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Luke 10:38-42. So therefore, we ought to be very careful. We ought to check to make sure we are not martyrs, and we do not miss out the blessing of being married. Be careful not to be tumbled about with much serving at the expense of spending quality time with the Lord in prayer and in meditation of the Word. And that is why you notice that in our Sunday lunch, it is plain, simple. I think it's simple. Because I don't cook. Get it ready, put it into the oven. No such thing as take the piece of pork, pluck out all the hair, scrub it. We do it simple. More importantly is for us to gather for fellowship over a simple lunch. Right? It's not so much of the quality of the food, but the fellowship that we want. To bring lots of people together, to spend time together, to encourage one another over a simple meal. And so this is what we just do. We should not want to stress our members into doing something which they have been doing throughout the week. And right now they will come again. No, yes, we want the fellowship, but we want to do it simply, not the expense of them having to spend time behind the kitchen, missing out on the worship, missing out on the receiving the word of God, missing out on prayer. We don't want to tire them out. And so we ought to be very careful so that we will not be cumbered about with so much serving at the expense of our spiritual life. Let us personally seek God's will concerning our area of service to Him. Ask the Lord, pray and seek Him diligently. Seek His will. What is our spiritual gift and how we ought to use them to do our part in building up this church and in building up the body of Christ. If the Lord should impress upon you that you have the spiritual gift of helps, then ask the Lord to show you which area of service He wants you to serve in. And as He convicts you and leads you and impress upon you His will, let us commit ourselves to do the Lord's will and not our own will. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee once again for spiritual gifts that You have given to us. O Lord, we thank Thee that each one of us are able to contribute to the growth and advancement of Your work here in this church. We thank You for those who have come forward to serve so faithfully and regularly in the kitchen, in playing the piano and the organ, in managing the PA system, in updating our church website, in doing the bulletin, in cleaning the places, cleaning the churches, the church compound, and in beautifying this place, in all the repairs and all the other works that they did not consider it to be of lower standard, but they are willing to even carry out the most humble tasks. And we want to thank Thee for them. And we pray that Your Spirit will encourage them to do all unto the Lord and for Your glory, and that they may be an encouragement to others, to impress upon others of serving the Lord and giving our best to the Master. So help us, we pray. And for those of us who have this gift of helps, may Thou enable us to develop it further and to exercise it in this church. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.